tragedy struck again this week in Clinton. Unfortunately, Clinton is used to tragedy. I heard about tragedy that struck our downtown square years ago. We had the tragedy of this past Sunday night. I remember the tragedy of September 11th. I was in eighth grade when that happened. And some of you know the tragedy of Pearl Harbor. And when tragedy strikes, usually we come up against two different things. First is we just simply don't understand. We don't know. We don't know what to say. We have all these questions. We can't put into words what you feel when the tragedy takes place. And then the other thing is that we ask a lot of questions. We scratch our heads and our hearts are crushed and we ask. Job had tragedy in his life in our Old Testament reading. For those who aren't familiar with Job, he's at the very beginning of his letter. He's enjoying a meal and a servant comes up to him while he's eating and he says, "All your servants died in a tragic accident and I'm the only one who escaped to let you know." And just like that, all of Job's workers were taken away from him. And he's left scratching his head and his heart's crushed, but not for too long before another servant comes and tells him, "Job, I'm sorry to tell you, but your sheep were destroyed by a fire and all your camels as well." And just like that, his source of livelihood, his source of income was taken from him. He's scratching his head and his heart's crushed, but not for long before another servant comes and tells him, "Job, your very own sons and daughters were in a house last night and a great windstorm came, a tornado perhaps, and destroyed the house and you lost your sons and daughters." And just like that, Job's children are taken away from him. And he's left with a crushed heart. And then, to make matters worse, the next day Job is struck with painful, the scriptures say, loathsome sores from the bottom of his feet all the way to the top of his head. They're so painful that he uses a broken piece of pottery to scratch his wounds to find relief. His wife tells him, "Curse God and die, Job. Look at what he's allowed to happen. Why don't you just curse God and die already, Job? He allowed our sheep and our camels to be destroyed. He allowed all of our employees and your servants to die. He allowed your sons and our daughters to be destroyed. Why don't you curse God and die already?" But Job refuses. But boy, does he have a lot of questions for God. Over 100 of them. I went through and counted. I got 106. And I didn't want to go back through and recount. But it was over 100. He has questions to the Lord like, "Why didn't I die at childbirth? Why did you bring me out of the womb? How long, O God, are you going to torment me?" Yes, are you even there to answer, O God? Where can I find you? Answer me. Well, 38 chapters, Job asks questions, and then the Lord finally answers Job out of a whirlwind. He says, "Who is this that darkens my counsel by words without knowledge? Gird your loins, be a man. I'm going to question you. And give an answer to me what you know." And the Lord asked Job about 100 questions in just 2 short chapters. He says, "Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who shut in the sea with doors when it burst open from the womb? Who prescribed limits to the darkness? Have you commanded the morning since your days began? Have you seen the gates of hell and death? Have you seen the gates of deep darkness? can you comprehend the expanse of the earth? Do you know, Job? You don't even understand the earth. You don't even understand yourself. How can you possibly understand me? So God gives him a picture and ways that he can hopefully understand. God tells Job, Job, would you be brave enough, would you be strong enough to capture a leviathan, which is a great sea creature, a whale? Would you go out and catch a whale with just a tiny fish hook? Would you be brave enough to tackle a whale with a fish hook and bring him up into your boat? No, he says. No one's brave enough or strong enough to dare stir up a whale. So then who is he that dares to stand before me? For I am the Lord of heaven and earth. And he is the one who has power over all creation, over the whole earth, over the wind and the waves and the sea, the one with power over you. You know, we think we know a lot these days in 2017. There's few things that we don't know, because we can just ask Siri. We have all the information that we need in our pocket. You know, we know a lot, you know. Or at least we think we do. Think we have all this knowledge, but we don't. And knowing often gets us in trouble. So we go to Siri, or we go to Facebook groups, or we go to our friends for questions. We ask Siri. But as an ancient church father once said, he didn't say this first part, but would you ask Siri to consider the tribes of birds and their varieties of form and color, both of those which are voiceless and of songbirds, that what is the reason of their melody? And from where does it come? Who gave the grasshoppers the lutes and their breasts and the songs and chirping on the branches when they're moved by the sun to make their midday music? Would you ask Siri, who causes the trees to sing among the groves, the wind to escort the wayfarer with their voices? So much we don't know. And the things that we try to know often overwhelm us, and we're left with unanswered questions, and we don't know what to do, which is why Paul says that I decided to know nothing more among you than Jesus Christ and him crucified. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified there on that cross, my Redeemer, my Lord, my Savior. All I desire to know is him. Why would a good man have his life ended so quickly? I don't know. But Jesus Christ there on that cross overcame death, and he died for the sins of the whole world. Why did such a horrible thing happen? Jesus there on that cross died for my sins and the sins of the whole world. And when we come to Jesus with our tough questions and we look to the cross and we see him there bloodied and broken to overcome our pain, there's something about seeing him that stills our minds and it soothes our hearts, but only if we could stay there with our eyes perfectly fixed on him. If only we could stay there right in front of the cross every day, looking to our crucified and risen Lord and having our minds at ease and our hearts soothed. But the devil comes along and he wants you to know more. Here, he says to you, know this feeling, know this pleasure, know this pride, know this lust, know this sin, know these doubts and these fears. Here, go ahead and know this destruction as well, and know this kind of pain. know your chains and how they grip you tighter. Go ahead and make them tighter and know finally this tragedy, because you should just go ahead and curse God and die, and you start to drown from him. And all you can do is cry out, Lord, save me. And the risen Lord, he immediately reaches out his hand and he pulls you out of these drowning waters. And he says with a smile, why did you doubt? I had you the whole time, because I know you. I know you. And I decided to know nothing more than you as my child. So I gave up my life for you. And I know your sin. And I know your pain. I know your thoughts and your fears. I know your destruction upon yourself. I know your chains, and I know how tight they grip you. And I know how much you struggle with this tragedy, but take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Who alone can do this? The only one, the Almighty Lord, who has power over the whole creation, heaven and earth and the wind and the waves, but especially in light of our tragedy, over the grave. Amen.